This call is being recorded.
And amen. I was thinking today about our message, and I was determining how is it that I wanted to present it. And the way that I want to present it is just like it is. But if I could get you to go with me a little bit and just think, we've gone through the Bible, a lot of the Bible, so I should be able to talk and you understand what I'm saying. Imagine, if you will, you know that your family has been told by God that all families, all nations of the earth will be blessed by you. And you're growing up, and you know that your daddy has been chased down by a man that probably wanted to kill him, take us from him, and take us back to Padan Aram. You see your daddy as he leaves, he's normal. He can walk. He's strong. He's a shepherd. But somewhere between the time that he leaves and the time that you get to meet for the first time your Uncle Esau, dad is crippled. Something happened. Daddy is limping, so much so that we determined we're not going to eat the inside thigh part of an animal no more. We don't hear it told much, but we know that it was told because in Genesis 49, he talks about the angel that redeemed him. We know that you had an encounter with God, Daddy. I mean, the real God. And you wrestled with him. And your victory is you're still alive. But you were humbled. But the promise of God's kingdom and you ruling on the earth, making it like it is in heaven, taking and coming from that line of Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and your father Isaac, who you tricked. You got the blessing. But as a young man, you know that this is an important thing. And I want to follow my daddy. I want to live like my daddy wants me to. I want to honor God. And God start letting me, through my daddy, see, because one, he favors me because I'm the youngest. But I'm faithful. I'm faithful to my father. I want to honor my father. I love my father. And then God gives me dreams. And I tell them about my dreams. My brothers, while I'm faithful to God, learn to hate me. They learn to mistreat me. They throw me in a pit. They want to kill me. They mock me. They laugh at me. And I'm crying. And I'm asking God to deliver me speedily. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. So I get delivered from one thing, and I get sold as a slave. If we were to take what the law would have said after that, all of them should have been put to death. He sold a man as a slave. But at that time, that law wasn't written. So I go and I work and I'm faithful because I remember my daddy. I remember my training. I remember the time that I probably got to hear about my grandfather, Abraham. I got a chance to hear about Isaac. I got to hear about the war that they won. And I'm going to be faithful. My granddaddy been to Egypt. When he went to Egypt, he wasn't treated fairly, and God did some good things. Because of Sarah, here I am in Egypt. Then I get accused of trying to rape a woman, and they call me the Hebrew. Oh, now they mocking my ethnicity. Then I end up being in prison. I'm forgotten about, but I'm doing the work. the mindset that is necessary to overcome the viciousness of mistreatment is what we see in Joseph. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to hold on to God. I believe that no matter what, that God will be with me if I hold on. The key is hold on to what? I can say hold on all day. What good is holding on if you don't know what you're holding on to? First of all, let's change hold on to what? God's word. Let's move it in reverse the order. Hold on to who? God. It's a necessary mindset to hold on to God if you're being mistreated, if you're going through pain, if you're going through suffering. It's a necessary mindset if you want the kind of victory that Joseph had. Joseph ended up, out of all the mistreatment, God did hear him. God did vindicate. God did shame the people. Listen to me. God did shame the people of his own family, of that which was not his family, that mistreated him. Am I telling the truth? Because they came up there and look at him. We in famine now. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It got to the place that Potiphar's wife that lied. Potiphar, who allowed Joseph to be locked up. The other people that have forgotten about Joseph. Do you understand that once Joseph was named Zaphnath Paneah, which got to be the father of that house, because Pharaoh's the father of the house, and Joseph get to be the guardian of the house. Do you understand that everybody in that nation had to bow to knee to Joseph? Do you feel what's going on? Do you understand that his brothers bowed the knee to him? Do you understand? Even the father came, although the father had the blessing, the father had to acknowledge that God has worked through my son, because my son, he started out with the necessary mindset to take mistreatment and injustices. Young men, do you have that mindset yet? You will be mistreated. Listen to me. I believe you'll be mistreated because of the color of your skin. I believe you'll be mistreated because you are male. I believe you'll be mistreated because you are human. And God knows, I hope that if you're mistreated, you're going to be mistreated because you love God's word. If you don't have the necessary mindset, looking at me, Naomi, you won't be exempt. Everything that I said to them, it'll go to the female point. Okay. Do I need to say it so you feel better? Okay. We see that in the life of Joseph. We see this in the psalmist. I wasn't bothering anybody. Let me tell you what I was doing. I'm honoring my father. I'm out here taking care of the sheep. In the rain, in the storm, in the nighttime, in the daytime, I lead my sheep by the green pastures. I lead them, I get them by the still waters, lead them to the green pastures. I protect them. I protect them, Rich. If a bear comes out, I'm not a hireling. I fight. If a lion comes out, I fight. That's the job that my father gave me. Now I have other brothers, and maybe they did it before. But now it's my lot to take care of the sheep. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm pretty much looked on as if I'm not that much. But one day, when a war was getting ready to break out, just like one had happened before, when the Ark of the Covenant was gone from our place, one day when all of that had already taken place, and everybody was scared, I didn't know what had happened, but I remember, I looked back in my mind, and what is this? Why am I being mistreated by my brothers? I was told to bring them some stuff to eat. But I have to remember one day when I was honoring my father, the Heavenly Father, sent Samuel the prophet the one that had been given to this woman that had the mindset to trust God when she was mistreated by Peninnah. And this Samuel, whom no one of his words ever failed, he came to my house. He came to anoint somebody to be king. I didn't know anything about it. I was just busy doing my father's will. But God saw me. And he wouldn't let Samuel change his anointing procedure and give it to someone else. Even when that was a good-looking one, Samuel made his choice. And it wasn't me. If you read the scriptures, you'll see it. Samuel made his choice, and it was not David. And God said, it ain't him. Now you say, God don't know good English. I'm putting it in that word. God say, I rejected him. I don't see like you see. Man looks on the outward appearance. God look on the heart. So I'm anointed. I probably don't feel no better. I don't look no better. And I'm still out there with the sheep. But one day, Daddy is concerned about his other son that sent me, and something happens. I hear this giant, send me out of man. He can whip me. Then you all can pretty much have this war handle. But if I whip him, because I'm big, I'm bad, I think I'm the boss, and I got demonic power on my side. Demon powers on my side. This is a battle of the gods. It had already taken place in the fifth chapter of 1 Samuel, whenever Dagon had the Ark of the Covenant in there when they brought it, and God cut their head off. Now here comes Goliath, and David didn't say, I'm coming to you with my stones. David didn't say, I'm coming to you with my sling. David didn't say, I'm coming to you with everybody behind me. He said, you come at me with sword and spear. That's what Satan is giving you. But I come to you in the name of the living God of Israel, whom you despise. The mindset that David had is that whatever God say, I want to be faithful. I was anointed to be the king. I'm supposed to execute judgment. I'm supposed to defend the people. I'm supposed to spread God's word and his standard throughout the earth. And I want to be faithful. But because this happened and David defeated the giant, God defeated Dagon, God's servant defeated Dagon's servant. Then what ended up happening is Saul, the king, got jealous, lied on David, mistreated David. David's out in sheepskins, goatskins, out there starving many times, looking for food, hiring himself out to protect a man's sheep, doing many things to live and survive. How is it that David held on? First of all, he held on to God. He held on to his word. He didn't turn his back on God. And all of the mistreatment that came his way, what did he do? He went to God and begged God for help. Are you beginning to see a pattern there? Because you're not going to be exempt. Then we get to the blessed Lord Jesus the Christ, the Lord of glory. One night, everything is normal. Shepherds out there working, doing their job. Heaven bust open. Now the heavenly host start talking. The Bible said saying, people say singing. Maybe you can make saying be singing, but I'm gonna stick with saying. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the one who had been mistreated, the one who stood up for the living God, the one that when he sinned and turned his back on God, humbled himself, repented, and allowed God, whatever you do to me, do it. I just want to have your spirit restored to me. In the city of David, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. He goes through and does good. He gets mistreated. He gets lied on. He gets ostracized. He has to sometimes hide himself away. He has to spend nights, sometimes all night in prayer. Sometimes a great while before a day. And people continually coming at him, want to find something that he say so they can report it on the news. What do you mean on the news? We talk about go and spread it around. They had runners. They had news then. We want to say you're going against the government. You're going against God. You are doing things that are treasonous to God. You should be experiencing capital punishment. You're using magic. How do you open the eyes of the blind? Oh, you're doing demon stuff. How do you raise the dead? We gonna kill you for sure now. You raise Lazarus from the dead? What kind of mindset does it take for you to hold on to God and understand when the mistreatment comes? It takes the mindset that I delight to do your will. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will. I've seen how God elevated Abraham when Abraham went through what he went through with Sarah and Abimelech, and God gave him that child and made him the father of nations, and he defeated the giants in the 14th chapter. I see what God did with Joseph. I see what God did with David. I'm his son. I'm the only one of that kind. And I know that my job is to live and obey God. And my mindset is to be faithful unto death. I do mean death, not just till I die, until I'm killed. Why is that? Because I'm going to be Lord of both the dead and the living. That mindset. Well, when you look at yourself, what is the mindset necessary for you to overcome the viciousness of mistreatment in this world? Well, somebody might say, well, those are Old Testament people. And that's Jesus before the New Testament really took place. Sometimes people lie through ignorance, and sometimes they lie because they don't pay attention to what the scripture says. The Bible teaches me in the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter of the book of Acts that Peter and John had done something in the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts. They had stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And a man in a beautiful gate was healed. And the viciousness and the mistreatment of those that were supposed to be the kahal, the assembly, those of the synagogues, they got upset. And Peter asked them, 4th chapter Acts, 19th verse, who do we obey? God or man? I tell you what, you better not be teaching in that name no more. They threatened them. They threatened them after they had already grabbed them. You know what Peter did? Peter and the rest of the guys got together and they showed they had the mindset necessary to overcome. They prayed and asked God for more boldness, more boldness, more signs, more miracles that they can go and be faithful to the Father. Am I telling the truth? Yes, sir. Well, you say, okay, that's New Testament. The book of the Revelation talks about some of you will be cast into prison. But be faithful unto death, you will receive a crown of life. Since this psalm that we're dealing with today is talking about the Lord Jesus, and some of it is talking about David. In Luke chapter 20, we see Jesus being faithful to God, just like David had been faithful. And his brother, who are you?
You'll be back there with that little sheep. You ain't nobody.
We probably had real diapers back then. We seen your little bottom when it was being changed. Who are you? We watch you nurse. They asked Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? And he asked him, well, the baptism of John. I tell you what, let's just deal with it. Was it a manna from heaven? We've made an assertion. And since we made an assertion, he gave us two choices. Is heaven ruling in what John's saying, or is man ruling? Now, John's a prophet. So if we say John, we in trouble. If we say heaven, why didn't you believe me? So we can't answer. That's the kind of mindset you need when somebody asking you why you faithful to God. One time when they're asking this to Jesus, they wasn't rubbing him on the bottom. They wasn't kissing him on the cheek. They wasn't throwing down their coats. They were attacking. They were coming at him to hurt him. Or they wanted to discredit him. That's what they wanted to do. He gave him a parable about the landowner. I got some land I want it taken care of. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a faraway city. I'm going to hire some people to take care. I mean, I'm going to hire some people to go and get my fruits, my goods, my profit. So what they do, they beat one. Then they beat another one and mistreated another one. Then they killed. So he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to send my son. They'll reference him. And they said, God, this is a son. We'll kill him and we'll take the inheritance. They killed the son in the parable. And Jesus asked them, so what do you think the landowner's going to do? They're going to terribly deal with those people. Oh, he said he's going to take the kingdom and give it to somebody else. Or he's going to take that land and give it to those that will give him his fruit. Do you understand that parable is really saying that before the Son comes, I'm sending representatives of me. The prophets were representatives of me. The prophets were representatives. The king was supposed to be representatives of me until I sent my son. The landowner sent a person that represent me. Another person that represent me. I sent my son. He represent me. You kill him. You want to kill me. You're going to be dealt with. The mindset is, if you're serving God, whatever the Father allows to come your way, he's going to vindicate. He's going to vindicate. And they realized that parable was about them. So when we do this 70th Psalm, you should have a background of what's going on. Five little verses. Read it, Dree.
To the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying.
Thank you for the reading of the Word of God. When you read a lot of commentary, they will let you know that a lot of this is also talked about in Psalm 40, 14th verse, I think through the 18th verse, and they debate whether this is a separate psalm or is this been taken from the other one. One of them used the term Elohim or God instead of Yahweh, and they deal with it like that as if something can't be said twice. How many times have I told you the same story about something in my life more than once? How many times Then my daddy sat in there at the table and tell us about seining. You know what seining was? How they would lay, run a net across the lake and catch fish. But we can't look in the Bible and say they tell the story the same thing more than once. But I'm not going to fuss about that. I want you to look at this passage. To the chief musician of David, to remembrance, to bring remembrance. You really want to have the mindset to overcome the viciousness of mistreatment. What do you remember when stuff happened? What do you remember? Who do you remember? You don't have anything that you can bring back to your remembrance to let you know about the absolute, unchanging, dogmatic word of God that is obligatory. That means that you got to do, or that you're responsible for at all times. Then everybody's opinion, including your hurt, can move you away from being faithful. So he says, make haste, oh God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. The mindset is, God, you have let me in this situation, and I feel it, and it hurts. Help me. You think Abraham was saying, help me to get my wife. She's good looking. I love her. I don't want his dirty paws on my wife. I don't even want him to see what I'm working with. The idiom there. I don't want him to see my wife. What do you think? Joseph in the pit. Help me. Help me. They want to kill me. Help me. And if you think he wasn't crying, go back and read it. And when those young men are talking about it, they said he was crying. You think David wasn't crying out sometimes? Lord, you did this to me. I didn't ask to be anointed. I was minding my own business. Help me. Saul, just throw a javelin at me. Everybody's lying on me. You think Jesus didn't ask for help? God wasn't letting him use his godlike powers to disintegrate people or to open up the earth? He wasn't doing that. He was dependent. Help me. You think Peter and John, why do you think they say? They wasn't crying. They said, Lord, give us boldness. Let our mouth speak with the truth. And they got the answer to their prayer. How do you know, Tim? Because if you read to the fifth chapter, they kept doing what they were doing. And then they got arrested and they got beaten and they walked. We got beaten. We got beaten. We have entered into the sufferings of Christ like those that came before him, just like the parable we heard him talk about. And he sent us out to represent him. And we've been identified with him so much so that we got a beaten. We got mindset. It's necessary to overcome vicious and malicious treatment, often from what we call the church, what we call our families, when they don't like us and they don't understand us, our co-workers, our communities, because the disciples at this time were going out. Well, they hadn't really gone out to the Gentiles hard yet. That happens with Paul. But they were definitely in the Romans, and they were using Rome to attack. So he says, help me. The mindset is, what do you hold on to? God's word. Who do you hold on to? God. The mindset is, I want to please him. I want to be faithful. I don't get to control the outcome or the circumstances of what they do, but I get to determine my outcome in my circumstance, that I'm going to be faithful till I die. Verse 2, Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, ha, ha, ha. Do you think in the case of Abraham, Pharaoh wasn't ashamed? You don't think he was confounded when he had to let her go? And then he had to give stuff? I don't know what all God did. We only get summary what God did to them. Do you think that Saul wasn't ashamed? Do you think that Saul wasn't confounded? Saul was told before David was anointed that God has rejected you. And you got to see it. And you got the women. Saul is slaying crowds and David, you got to see. You got to see them doing it. Not like I'm thinking about those women in the line dancing when they do their little skirts and all of that. And you got to see it. You were confounded. You were turned backwards. He said, an evil spirit. You also see that the people were confounded with Jesus. You want to say he do things by Beelzebub. You want to know what authority. You get confounded when he asks you this question in front of everybody. Because now you've shown that you're full of deceit and devilment, and your vicious, malicious treatment on him is unfair. If the baptism of John was from God, what did John say when he was baptized? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Okay, you don't believe it from God? Okay, you say it's from men, but everybody else say he's a prophet. We don't want our bottoms whipped. Peter and John, you lock us up. Stuff happens. Now, I gave you 4 and 5. But if you still go to chapter 10, 11, and 12 and see what happened in the life of Peter, Peter actually get locked up again. They get confounded. Because when they come in the morning time, Peter's gone. An angel, wake up, Peter. Quit being at rest. It ain't time for you to die and go be with God. It ain't time. Wake up. You got more work to do. So Peter has to get up and go. But God delivered. When is it we going to be able to have in our memory things when people are doing stuff to us and God confounded them, made them ashamed, showed them up? Can you think about one time? Can you think about two? You better keep these things in memory. He said, put them to shame that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back like a repentance. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame. That mock Bible thumper Christian call himself the Christ. You be the Son of God, come down. Well, when he got up, y'all couldn't deal with it no more, could you? You couldn't deal with what his apostle was doing, could you? David, he going out here. And somebody told you something I said? Let him. Let him come and prove it. I've done nothing to you, Saul. Nothing. But before Saul died, what happened? You going to be with me. You were rejected. You were confounded. You were shamed in front of the nation. You were shamed in front of the women. You were shamed by your own son. Your own son said, my daddy is stupid. Now, he don't use those words. But my father, he's caused this hurt on the nation with another rash oath. That's after Saul, Jonathan got the 20 Philistines. And Jonathan said, you know what? You're going to be king, and I'm going to be next to you. Take my royal clothes. Your daddy has been shamed in the eyes of your son. Your son see that you're not all of that. It's just the fact you're my daddy. So it says, let him be turned back. They say, aha, aha. You had mocked David so badly that even Nabal had the song of the fool against David. But then it says in verse 4, let all that seek thee rejoice. All that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Do you seek God in the midst of being mistreated? Do you seek God even when you're not being mistreated? Do you seek his word? Do you seek his presence? Rejoice in it. You can either rejoice in that, or you can rejoice in your secular humanism. You can rejoice in your family. You can rejoice in your money. And all of these things are going to come to naught, but God is eternal. Can you not seek and rejoice in him? Glad in it. And then he said, and such is love thy salvation. Say continually, let God be magnified. You love his salvation? Do you love it? I said, do you love it? Well, you don't think you've had any before? Look at Abraham. Look at his salvation. Look at Joseph. Can't you rejoice in Joseph's salvation? God is showing you his resume. We ought to be excited about that. 7 times in the book of Judges, we saw God's salvation. We know what he is. We know how he operates. We saw his salvation with David. We know who he is. We know how he operates. We saw his salvation in Jesus. Raising from the dead. We saw it in Peter, James, John. We even saw it in Stephen. What do you mean Stephen was killed? Yeah, but he saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus sitting on the right hand. Now, actually, he was standing up this time. And he said the same kind of thing. He said, receive my spirit. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, he's one of those spirits of just men made perfect. If you can't rejoice in his salvation on things that he's done in your life, or when you're going through pain, when you're going through suffering, when you're being viciously mistreated, can you look back on God's resume and build yourself up? That's the kind of God he is. And then he says, let us say continually, let God be magnified. You lose your job, let God be magnified. You break your leg, let God be magnified. You have to self-medicate yourself because you got a condition, let God be magnified. They mistreat you at work, they want to get rid of you, they want to change you from God, but you got to stand strong. Let God be magnified. You're not understanding your home, let God be magnified. You wreck your car, things not going well, let God be magnified. You're getting older, you can't move around like you used to. You got more drugs than you ever seen in your house before. Let God be magnified. You can't breathe sometimes. Your sinuses are acting up. You're on a respirator or something like that. Let God be magnified. You lose your son. You lose your husband. You got to get a pacemaker. They put something in your arm so they can please your kidneys. Let God be magnified. You don't have a living father. God has dealt with somebody on every one of those issues in your Bible. Read it. See who he is. Let him be magnified. Jesus is ruling heaven and earth and under the earth, and he wants us to rule with him. Tell me I'm a damnable lie if you want to, and I'll take you to Daniel chapter 7, verse 18 and the 27th verse, and you'll see the saints get the kingdom. You'll see that they'll have a war, and they'll fight, and then the saints get the everlasting kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2, you'll see we're going to judge angels, and the angels that once had the territories of dealing with the people is given to us. Let God be magnified, not your cute. Not your money, not your last name, not your political party, not your church, not how much scripture you memorized, Tim Merritt. Let God be magnified. Last verse, he said, but I am poor and needy. You don't think Abraham was poor because he was rich? Let me tell you something, when you go somewhere as a stranger and everybody can attack you that they want to. Israel made it known whenever Shechem had taken Dinah and Levi and Simeon did their dirt. All this stuff I got, I'm scared now. Because you made us odious in the sight. You think David wasn't poor and needy? You think Jesus, the Bible says, I believe it is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I'm not sure. See if it's 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 or 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. One of those, though he was rich, he was made poor for our sakes, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Poor and needy. Blessed are the poor in what? Spirit. Don't be rich and not poor in spirit. Don't be poor and not be poor in spirit. The poor is talking about one that is deficit of whatever or deficient or whatever it needs to overcome. You go to God, I'm poor. Abraham, I got stuff. I can't win. They got my wife. Help me. Because whatever it is I need, I'm poor in that. That's why sometimes I tell somebody I'm ignorant. They say, you're not ignorant. You just don't know. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm deficient in that area. Are you deficient to be able to come on, overcome your sickness, your bad child, your bad attitude? I'm poor and needy. Make haste, O God. Make haste to me, O God. Thou art my deliverer. Don't just let me stay, Lord. Make haste. Help me, Lord. Help me. I'm crying. I want deliverance now. I can't make you, but I can cry. And your son Jesus said, if I keep seeking, if I keep asking, if I keep knocking, if it's just like a man that wants some bread and he keeps asking his friend, if that friend will get up and help, how much more than with my father? You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. The reason your prayer hadn't been answered. You might need to grow some more. There might be some things going on the other person that you're suffering for them. But I'm telling you now, until we begin to see the hurt and the viciousness and the pain is coming from the enemy of God, we don't have the mindset yet to overcome the viciousness of maltreatment. We don't have it. We got to see that God sees it. And that's how we dealt with the last few Psalms. In 69, we dealt with the Song of the Fools, making fun of the children of God. We dealt with Yahweh. He is the one that's truly going to deliver. Then we dealt with on Thursday that God sees, God knows what we're going through, and he will avenge those who are hurt that are innocent. Now what we're looking at is, what is the mindset that's necessary to overcome that vicious mistreatment? Who do you work for, God? Who do you call on, God? Understand God's word enough to know that this is what they would do to him, and you're being faithful. So he said, I'm poor and needy, make haste unto me. Thou art my help, thou art my deliverer. I'm not going to go into drugs. I'm not going to go to Baal, Molech, Asherah. I'm not going to go and ask and get the government and lie and steal. I've already determined. I have predisposed myself to say, God, you are my deliverer. And then it says, oh, Yahweh, make no tarrying. This passage lets you know you're not wrong to ask God to hurry up, please. You're not wrong to say, come on, God. Call him. Is it wrong if Isabella was outside playing and another girl that was bigger than her was wrestling and Isabella wanted to quit wrestling and let me up, let me up, let me up. Mama, help me. And you sitting there, Mama, help me. You should have been playing. Mama, help me. I told you not to go outside. Mama, help me. I told you to stay in the house. Mama, help me. Help me, please. Okay. You might have let her stay there just a little while because you were disobedient. I had a reason for you not to go out there. But you're still mama. And so in the end, that voice, when you feel it's enough, and it's not that you're being, you were teaching her something. You didn't have to whip her that time. You still could. But she learned. There are things that God teaches us through pruning process. There are things God teaches because we've been disobedient. But it's your mindset here. I'm poor and needy, God. You know what I need. You're the same one that when I say you're my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes I need correction. Sometimes I need growth. It says, I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O Lord. You are my help. You are my Yeshua. You are my deliverer. You're my savior. O Yahweh, make no tarry. I hope this message, these five verses, I hope I colored enough background that we can look at this little 70th Psalm with a different attitude. In there, there's some encouragement, and there's also some part in there, God, get my enemies. Get them. Ashamed, make them ashamed. Get them. Confound them. Don't let them have their way with me. Family, job, cousins, whatever it is, you're my deliverer. We have that mindset, I believe, is going to help us overcome as well. Father, thank you for your blessed, your holy, your righteous, and your eternal word. It's easier to preach this message than to live it. But Lord, you got a resume of people that have gone through before. And I know we have often feel our situation is worse. But sometimes it's not. It just happened to be ours. Give us the mindset to know who we believe, who we're working for, and what has gone on before us so that we'll be faithful to you, so that we may obtain that which you have promised to your saints. Amen, amen, and amen. I now open our class for discussion, if there's any discussion to be had today. We got any discussion for today? Any rebuttal? Anything I should have said and didn't say?
Well, I like the way you said it. I really enjoyed it. You know, that's a show up song, and I really didn't understand it, but I do now.
Well, thank you. And I thank Ann for helping me because, yeah, a lot of time I'll be riding here in my mind. I'll just be listening to what I want to talk about. I'll listen to the scriptures and stuff. And I said, I left my phone. Because on my phone, I got 180 to 128 gigabytes of stuff to listen to, plus the 60. But Ann's, I said, Ann, read this for me. Find this for me. That was one thing I wanted found, and I didn't tell you all about it, but I'll say it now. Jesus was so mistreated that the Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Now you can continue to reject him if you want to, but if you do, you'll be ground to powder if you fall on him. I mean, if he fall on you, if you fall on him, you'll be crushed. There's a victory. And once that mindset is God don't fail, that they want really to attack God, This is spiritual. Yes, people playing the part. We want the reward for doing righteously, right? And we say it's still us, right? Well, when the wicked do stuff and they're working for the devil, yeah, it's not flesh and blood, but it's being handled many times through flesh and blood. It's real.
Well, you were just quoting. Where is that? Is that
Luke 20?
Luke 20. That was very good.
Thank you.
You can almost stand up and start preaching.
Anyone on the conference line would like to say anything today? Any more comments?
Just make one comment that I heard a story, I think it was this morning. This woman and, you know, in China, persecution in China, and grandmother is taking her child to church. She's on dialysis. They say the government told her, if you keep taking your child to church, you can't be on the dialysis anymore.
And she took her to church anyway, but I bet you.
They didn't. They just told a story. They didn't say what she did. But just that they just talked about the choice that she had to make, you know. And they were just talking about how in China, how they, you know, how they have to meet in small groups, and then they got people to even watch what you're doing. You know, they see five people going into a house, it's like they want to know what's going on, you know. It's like, why these five people just keep coming to this house every week? You know,
I know what that our government people told by president, watch your neighbors. If you see anything, suspicious or whatever, report it. Well, that same kind of tactic is going to be in the mindset of people. Six cars at their house. I heard them singing.
I finally watched that movie, Enemy of the State.
And guess what? That's probably not as strong as they are now. They're probably stronger now. It's amazing, isn't it? It's when man wants to be God, he works out things to replicate what God is doing. And the whole problem was, you knew something you weren't supposed to know. Pay attention to what goes on in our government. When you ever find out who enemy number one is, enemy number one is to the state, you start figuring out why. If you find out one ethnic group is the enemy of the state, start figuring out why. When you find out one religion is the enemy of the state, start figuring out why, and you'll have an idea of what methods they'll use to shut you down. And they want to use godlike powers. They see you when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know when you've been bad or good, and they can actually call you a good bad. They can make you be in another place at any time. If someone can hack your computer, don't you think they can put something in it? You could have child porn in your computer and have never clicked on anything ever. Because if I can hack in your computer and take something out, I can put something in. We need the mindset that the people that have gone through and suffered had, that have had malicious, vicious treatment given to them. And that mindset is, I trust God. I trust his word. You don't know his word, your feelings gonna really, he ain't being fair. He know I served him. I remember when I went through that. God ain't being me right. I ain't gonna do church no more. I hate church. And that was like some of the worst time in my life. Did things in that time of my life I could never take back. Never. But God got that backside just right. He might have hit me upside the head. He might not have just whipped my tail. He might have busted me upside the head. Now, sometimes you get, you know, sometimes you have to clunk some people upside the head, beat that back. He had to beat me down to help me. Well, if there's no one else, I thank you all for joining today, and we'll go ahead and have our communion.
I feel like it was for everybody, but I think it was really for me.
Thank the Lord.
Because sometimes I think when you learn stuff or you read things that help you understand the Bible, not because you read it, it's something going to happen. But I think that often it's preparation. I mean, we're supposed to be prepared anyway. In the fall, for me, is usually the worst in the sense of, let's say, attack. I'm just going to say attack. And so while I've been able to commiserate or rejoice with at least one other person, this person not there, another person that would at least be someone that I could talk to. I'm speaking on my job, not there. Another person just resigned that we could talk about the things of God, not in my department, not there. It's three. It's me. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what's coming, but I mean, it'd be nice if nothing's coming, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. So I'm like, okay. So to have this less, and just looking at the climate, just the climate alone, it's so, so ugly. And
dark is the word that they use.
So I was talking, I think, to, it might have been Naomi or both. It might have been everybody. I don't remember, but I know Naomi there. Sometimes you focus, like might be, you know, you find a focal point. You look at that person more. I think I was probably, not that it was because of her. And just talking about how as time progresses, it seems like we're, and I could be wrong, but this is an application I think that is appropriate, where we see that Satan has been restricted with what he's been able to do. It seems like there's a loosening and a boldness to what we see happening, where we could say 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, these things were not like this. Set things setting up for this. But now it almost seems like this huge wave. So we're like at the ocean last week. And just to see these waves coming, one right after the other, and some bigger than the other, and just this continual thing. And it seems like that we have this continual flow or influx of more filth, like, you know, in Daniel, you see the downgrade. I don't know if that's the best word, or the quality of that, the statue from like gold all the way down to clay. And it just gets worse and worse and worse.
It does.
While at the same time, they say we're becoming more advanced, smarter, more intelligent. And it's really sad to see. So the message was, I could have almost just yelled out really, really loud. I think I saw you do that one time years ago in a revival. And I saw that's almost how I felt. I just let it out. But very, very encouraging message. And to hear it and to remember it. And I don't mean just remember what did you say, what did you have on, but to remember it as a part of the armor of faith. I thought about Psalms 34. I bless the Lord at all times.
Yes.
I thought about, I'm not sure where it is, but I think it's in Deuteronomy where God sees that they were acting up, but then he's still working with, because he's like, you don't know why God might be delaying the response that we think we need. Because it could be to help somebody else. It could be that he's doing something with them. It could be because of our lack of trust. It could be because I want to grow you up. The analogy with Isabella maybe calling for her mom or something. Like, so I need to leave you there for a minute. And I think I was trying to find it. In my other Bible, I had it marked a certain way. So sometimes the way I mark something is easy to find it. And it's like, well, on the way you read that they're out there because of their disobedience. On the other hand, you see God is saying, like, well, I'm trying to, I think he said, I'm proving you. So I remember the first time I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. So which is it? But why can't, I mean, it can be both. So Ann says it sometimes, but I remember when I read it and it clicked to me. This was, I don't know how many years ago, but I was like, just don't go with what I read or the way I understood it. But the fact that God is like, okay, I'm about to grow you up. I'm gonna prove you. I'm gonna see if you're really my people. And it's like, do you love me or not? Is it just words? Is it just words, or do you love me? And to say you love somebody, first of all, it lets you know it's not by your own definition.
Amen. That's the truth.
Because, like, I can say, but I feel this way, and I this, and I this, and I this. But it's like God who creates everything. I mean, if he created everything, then he's got the definition. So it's like, I don't care how you respond. So did you follow it this way? So it was very, very good. You didn't ask me for this, but I fell asleep Thursday night. I took a nap and I didn't get up to, I think, 10 minutes till or 5 minutes. I think you might have already been in discussion or starting discussion. And I was like, whoa. It was like I went to some time zone. And so I was like, oh, so I think I heard you talking about saying my name once or twice, but I was like, you know, like you come back. It was just like, so, but you gave me a little synopsis. I looked this morning to see if it was on. So, Lord willing, when it's on, I'll eventually see and listen to it. But this was good. So,
well, thank you all.